Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Hey guys, Darren Cockburn is back, and we're talking about actually the first book that he wrote, and it's entitled Being Present, Cultivate a Peaceful Mind Through Spiritual Practice. And this is a very grounded book. It gives you step-by-step information so that you can adjust your life if that's something that you're really willing and ready to do. And Darren does a great job with it, explaining it, as you will see as the interview goes on. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back, but I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Excuse me. A bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, The Men of Money book, and Masterful Choices, The Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. Find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Darren Cockburn's passion is about helping people live in the present moment and cultivate a peaceful mind through books, the media, and training. His acclaimed books, Being Present, which we're talking about today, and Living a Life of Harmony, are available worldwide. And you can also check out his previous podcast on Living a Life of Harmony. The books and teachings are based on a synthesis of Buddhism, yoga philosophy, and the teachings of Eckhart Tolle. Now, Darren has been practicing meditation and mindfulness for over 20 years. He studied with a range of teachers from different religions. And as a coach and teacher, he has supported hundreds of people in meditation, mindfulness, and finding a connection to spirituality with a focus on applying spiritual teachings in everyday life to cultivate a peaceful mind. And folks, who doesn't need a peaceful mind? You can find out more about him by checking out one of or both of his websites. The first is DarrenCockburn.com, and the second one is MindfulnessOnlineTraining.org. Again, DarrenCockburn.com and MindfulnessOnlineTraining.org. Welcome back, Darren.
Hi, it's nice to be back. Thanks for inviting me back on your show. Good to hear your voice.
Great, and it's nice to have you back. Absolutely love being present. We kind of did you in reverse order. We did the second book first, and now we're doing the first book. How did you come to birth into reality, being present, cultivate a peaceful mind through spiritual practice?
That's an interesting question. I've been asked that many times, and I do have a story associated with it. So I wasn't planning on writing a book. But what happened, I was meditating one morning, because that tends to be when I do meditate. I tend to get out of bed, nip to the loo, and then get straight on with my meditation. Because I find if I don't do that, often the day just gets carried away with itself, and then I don't get to meditate. So I was doing my meditation first thing. And I have this calling in meditation to write a book. And I thought, I'm not too sure whether it was my voice or someone else's voice, or whether it was some other form it took, but there was definitely something there telling me to write this book. So I heard that and I thought, I'm not going to do anything straight away. I'll wait for a little while, because I wasn't too sure whether it was just something that I'd, you know, created in my own mind or where it come from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finished my meditation and then I went and visited a local town and I saw this charity shop that was selling various bits and pieces. So I went into the shop, I went into the store and I met an old woman in there and she said hello and where are you from and just exchanging pleasantries. And she told me that she was a palm reader and she asked if she could read my palm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was nervous about that because no one had done that before. You never know what people are going to say
exactly.
When they do things like that. It's a little mm-hmm. bit like people need to be careful about what they ask you because they'll get an answer. And
mm-hmm. you might not
always,
like it.
It might not be aligned with what your ego might require.
mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit concerned about that. But anyway, she held my hand and looked at my palm and she said to me, oh, I can see that you're a teacher, or either you're a teacher or you're going to be a teacher. And she said, and you're going to write a book. And she said, it may take a couple of goes before you actually do it, but this is what's going to happen. So mm-hmm. this is very strange because this is twice now in the same day. And I hadn't had anyone else tell me that I was going to write a book before this.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years ago, I thought that I would like to produce some kind of framework or toolkit that people could use to lead a more peaceful, happier life. This was like a vision that I had in my early 20s. But I didn't really do a great deal with it. I did try and write a book many years before, but it just didn't seem to flow out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I opened my laptop and started writing about this and that, but there was like a blockage there, so it obviously
mm-hmm.
wasn't the right time. But years later, when this happened, I tried again, and I did end up writing a book, and that book turned out to be Being Present, you know, which is all about mindfulness and being in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
But not just that, being open to the spiritual realm or the spiritual connection that can be accessed when
mm-hmm.
our mind's peaceful and when we're open-minded and when we're in the present. So that's where it came from. And then 9 months later,
ooh, giving birth.
the book, yeah, it took about 9 months, and then it was,
mm-hmm.
then it was done. Yeah, and it's interesting because I've moved to a new location as well not long before, and I think there was something about letting go of old stuff and moving into a place that was new and fresh, and just having more space and nature around me, I think helped to extract the book.
Oh, that's so interesting. You shifted your energy physically and mentally, and then the energy was there to support you in writing the book.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, a question. Is being present, meditation, and mindfulness all the same energy?
Well, mindfulness is about awareness of our direct experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're mindful, you're aware of what's in what I call the physical realm. So, you know, stuff external to you, stuff coming in through the senses, what's going on with your body, your feelings, your thoughts. That's awareness of all of that is mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're aware of all of that, it also means that you're accepting it. So acceptance flows out of the awareness. When we get lost in thought, which is the opposite to mindfulness, that's like we're resisting what's being presented to us. So mindfulness is about staying aware and accepting our experience. So that's mindfulness
mm-hmm.
and being present. Meditation is a way of training ourselves to be more mindful. when I'm talking about meditation here, I'm talking about when you plan to meditate. So like my meditation in the morning, for example, it's like a plan to meditation. Mm-hmm. And so I decide I'm going to meditate and then I meditate. I'm not talking here about when you just spontaneously meditate. You know, if you was looking at a beautiful flower or heard some lovely music, or you know, sometimes you just instantly or you just naturally go into a meditative state. Mm-hmm. I'm talking here about planning to meditate. And that type of meditation that you plan and that you do, some people do every day or even twice or three times a day, that planned meditation cultivates mindfulness. So you're training the mind to be more aware. You're training the mind to recognize when it's lost in thought and then to come back into the present moment. So as we become more mindful, we're lost in thought less of the time, mm-hmm. and we're present or mindful more of the time. I started a new course here locally in Bournemouth with a group of people. I run this 8-week program, mindfulness mm-hmm. and meditation. And one of the students on the course asked me, because it was the first session, and she said, "How do I become less lost in thought?" that's a good question, because that's what mindfulness practice provides the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want that. You know, within us, we're all yearning for two things, peace and happiness. That's what everyone wants.
Yes.
You know, everyone wants a peaceful mind. No one likes being stressed. I don't know anyone that tells me they like being stressed. Everyone wants a peaceful mind. And the other thing that people want is happiness and to be able to enjoy what's presented to you. Not all the time, of course, but, you know, some of the time or more of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And mindfulness gives you that. You need awareness to experience peace and happiness. You don't experience that when you're lost in thought.
Okay. Well, that kind of explains, because I was going to talk to you a bit about, thought, because you're basically, from what I gleaned from the book, was that thoughts are not necessarily being in the present time. If you're in deep in thought, you know, you're someplace else as opposed to being present. So that helped explain that. So thank you very much. I want to talk to you about addictions. You cover many different things in your book, but addiction really speaks out to me. But before we do that, I want to talk a bit about the ego so that people understand, you know, what the ego is, where it's coming from, and how it relates to your work. So can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, sure. There are many different definitions of all these things. You know, we talk about mindfulness, meditation, ego, addictions. People define them in different ways. So I can certainly share with you my particular mm-hmm. definition and my views on it. I see the ego as being, it's like your false sense of self. It's who you believe that you are. And the truth is that we don't actually exist. There's nothing really fixed about us. The human body is a process that's constantly changing and that's constantly renewing. I often give the example that every 7 years or so, every single atom in our body's changed. So you're a completely different woman now to what you was 7 years ago. Every mm-hmm. atom of you is different. So there's mm-hmm. nothing fixed about you. You're a process. I'm a process. We're influencing each other. And we're influencing the world around us, and the world around us, or the universe around us, is also influencing us. Mm-hmm. So everything in the universe, everything in the physical realm, is one big interconnected process. Now, what human beings have a habit of doing, which is dysfunctional, is, but in a way it's kind of required to operate. But what we do is we wander around the earth believing that it's basically us and then everything external to us. Mm-hmm. So we separate ourselves out. So if mm-hmm. you were to listen if you was to have access to everyone's thoughts, or let's say that you could get access to, and you may be able to access people's thoughts anyway to an extent. I guess you can, but the average person may not be able to. But anyway, let's say that you can get access to 50 people's thoughts for the day. Mm-hmm. To listen what was going on inside the head. I think it would be quite stressful business.
Yeah, I think it would drive one crazy.
If you were to listen back to it. if you just listen back to it, let's say, I mean, what, 24 hours in a day. Let's say they sleep for 8 hours. You've got 16 hours of this ramble, right, mm-hmm. times 50. Yeah. So you listen to all those hours. What you find is that most of people's rambles and most of people's stories that they're telling themselves and things that they're stressed about have them at the center of the universe.
mm-hmm.
And will imply that they're a separate entity, when mm-hmm. actually we're all connected. And the ego is all of our identifications and attachments at a point in time that we define as being ourselves. So this could be an identification or attachment to the way that we look. It could be to the stuff that we own. It could be to particular beliefs or opinions
mm-hmm.
that we may have. It could be to addictions, relationships. So anything where you think, that's me, that defines me. And anything that could cause you psychological stress or suffering, that is part of your ego. So for okay. most people, that consists of a lot of stuff.
Yes, it does. It truly does. Wow. Going back with addictions, you say in your book that thinking may be the biggest addiction facing the human race. I mean, when people think of addictions, they think alcohol, they think food, sex, shopping, those type of things. So tell us or talk to us about thinking and how that could be the biggest addiction facing the human race today.
Well, in a way, you could say that thinking, and I'm referring here to when you get lost in thought, not mm-hmm. when you're conscious, like we consciously think about things, don't we, sometimes? Okay, I need to analyze this, or I need to reflect on that,
mm-hmm.
or I need to plan this. And that's conscious, positive thinking. But most of the thinking that most of us do, me included, I can talk about this stuff because I experience it myself,
mm-hmm.
is when the mind just disappears off and gets lost in thought without you knowing. And then later you come back. And what the mind is doing there is it's escaping from the present moment. There's something about the present moment that the mind or the ego doesn't like, and it's using thought as an escape mechanism. In the same way that a alcoholic may use alcohol in order to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone who was addicted to chocolate may use chocolate in order to escape. But most of us, or pretty much all of us, to some extent, we use thought to escape. And this is what we find, that we're lost in thoughts more of the time in situations that we find stressful or painful. Now, mm-hmm. the best thing that we can do, if we're able to, is to actually be with the unpleasantness, just to the point of being able to accept it and be aware of it, and then move forward from there in a more positive way. Because whenever we get lost in thought, mm-hmm. we become unskillful. So being lost in thought is a form of addiction.
Okay, so give us an example of being with the unpleasantness and working through that so the audience understands.
Sure, okay. So over the weekend, this weekend is gone, I had a period of time where I felt lonely. It felt quite irrational because I'd actually got things lined up, you know, seeing people, lots of nice things to do, but there was a few hours where I started to experience these feelings of loneliness, and they were quite unpleasant. And what I could have done at that point in time was to, I don't know, maybe go to my fridge and get out some chocolate or some cookies or something like that.
Go gain weight, yes.
Or I could immediately get onto my phone and go onto social media or ring someone up. But what I decided to do was just to be with that feeling and bring awareness and acceptance to it and actually allow some suffering to take place and to allow some healing to take place. Because in that particular example, I knew that what I was feeling was irrational. You know, on the surface level, everything was fine. Mm-hmm. I'd have time with people before. I was going to be having time with people later. You know, my life situation was fine. This felt like it was irrational. Whenever it feels like that, it's usually from the past. Yeah. Okay. So this feeling came up and I sat with it. And what I realized is the feeling tone was very similar to a time when I was younger on a weekend where my parents sometimes used to go off and leave me on my own. But I was really young at the time. And it was basically that. And the conditions over the weekend somehow triggered it, but it was that same feeling. And so what was happening there was pain, emotional pain was coming up within me. And what I try and do as much as I can, and I'm not always successful at it, but this weekend I was just aware of that emotional pain. And if you can be aware of it and you can stay present, then you can allow yourself to heal, because that's really the only way you can heal your emotional pain, because it needs attention, it needs awareness, it needs kindness, it needs presence to heal it and to reduce it. Because what addictions are is addictions, they enable people to escape from the emotional pain. So the emotional pain is still there in the body, but whatever it is that they're doing with the addiction is temporarily removing them from it. But it actually doesn't, the thing is, you may get a temporary relief, but it doesn't sort the root cause out, which is the emotional pain that's trapped within your body and your mind.
Okay.
But if you can have some time with that emotional pain and bring awareness to it, and by the way, you don't have to do this on your own. It just happened that I was on my own, so I did it on my own. But, you know, sometimes if you had a therapist or a good friend or a healer with you, they can be with you at the time. And just allow the pain to come up. And, you know, for me, what it resulted in was some tears. You know, I cried for a little while. But, you know, shortly after it passed, and I was able to move on positively. And this is what I find so amazing about when you sit with unpleasant feelings is that
what happened, but
it did that last time about after about half an hour or something. It's exactly half an hour. So
okay,
but yeah, anyway, these unpleasant feelings and these emotions, they need your awareness, they need your attention. And if you are able to be with them, even if it's just for a short period of time, yeah, as I said, they pass real quick. Usually. But if you don't give them the awareness and attention and healing that they need, and if you don't allow yourself that kindness, then basically the pain just stays within the body or stays within the mind. And sometimes it can increase. But there's this process of healing that takes place. But the healing can only take place in the present moment. So mindfulness and kindness and healing, they all go together. But the addictions are basically an escape from the emotional pain. Any kind of addiction, whether it's thought-based addiction or whether it's a substance addiction or a behavioral addiction, whatever it is, it's always escaping, from being with something that's unpleasant.
Okay. So, Darren, how do you help people through this process with your work that you have?
Well, I encourage people it all starts with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So I train people a lot in mindfulness, and mindfulness allows you to be aware of the feelings. Because often what happens is the addiction will kick in. The escape will be made before you're even aware of the feeling. It's like sometimes it can happen without you knowing about it. But with the awareness there and with mindfulness, you can catch these unpleasant feelings when they come up. And then once you know that the unpleasant feeling is there, that's the point at where you have a choice. Okay, there it is. So I can now either sit with it or I can do something to escape from it. But if you're not aware of the feeling, you don't get that choice. You're just on autopilot and you go straight down the addictive action route. But I think it's worth keeping in mind as well, my view on it is that addictions, as unpleasant and unskillful and stressful as they are, they do have a place, because I think that in a way addictions can protect people from being overloaded by emotions.
Okay.
You know, you've only got a certain capacity to heal, you know, so much. And if there's that much emotional pain there and you don't necessarily have the right conditions or support around you to heal it, rather than it coming up and overwhelming you, then the addiction is used as a tactic in order to temporarily keep you going. But ultimately, you know, we have to bring awareness and acceptance to that pain to heal it.
Okay. Now, is there an addictive personality that's out there, and do those addictive, if they exist, addictive personalities attract to them other addictive personalities?
I don't know about that. I know I've got an addictive. I feel like I've got quite an addictive personality, but then I'm quite aware of my addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do know other people as well that that get addicted to various things. And you know, something that I do spot quite often when I'm talking to people is that they'll sort out one addiction, but then they'll create another addiction. So you may have known people that maybe they had an alcohol addiction and they're able to stop drinking, but then they get addicted to exercise, for example.
So they have to replace it instead of looking for something new?
Yeah, if the emotional pain isn't healed underneath the addiction, if you don't take that particular addictive action, like if you don't go for the alcohol, then you need some other substitute. So you could, okay, well, exercise or sex or some other form of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is to get to the underlying issue, which is the emotional pain that's trapped within the body and the mind, and to do the healing. You know, that is the only way that you're going to free yourself from addictions.
Okay. Well, you know, our time.
People with less emotional pain have less addictions, generally speaking.
Oh, okay. So I'd like to meet the person who has less emotional pain, because I think we all have some to a degree. At least I know I do. So, Darren, our time has gone so quickly. Give us a quick rundown on how being present truly helps us overall move forward with our spiritual life and everyday waking life.
Well, being present, just linking back to what I said earlier, if you want peace, which you can only get from a peaceful mind, not an empty mind, you know, we still need to think, but a peaceful mind. If you want peace, then there needs to be mindfulness and awareness there. If you want happiness, you need to be able to delight in and experience and enjoy what's presented to you. That needs awareness as well. So this is why I believe that being in the present moment and being mindful is the only way that we can lead a harmonious, happy life. So there we are. That's why it's so important. You know, it's essential to be peaceful and to be happy and to be kind. That's the other thing. Just quickly,
yes,
you can only be kind through the present moment, and you need to be aware to be kind to yourself or other people. all comes back to awareness.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you brought up being kind, because on the world stage today, if you're looking at the political leaders all over the world, there seems to be a lack of kindness, and that energy seems to be filtering down to the world population en masse, but not in a positive way. What can one do to sort of like block that energy and stay true to their own true essence?
Well, I think regardless of what the media is telling us or what politicians are telling us, we need to do what we know is right, and we need to be communicating and acting in a way that's kind and that's wise. And the only way that we can really do that is to stay mindful. It comes back to the same thing. Is to stay mindful and to stay present.
Okay.
Because if we resist all of this stuff and get lost in thought, and we're complaining about it and getting emotional about it, that is going to lead us down a path of unskillfulness. So we have to stay present. Whatever happens, we need to accept that that's happened. And whatever the politicians say, we do need to accept that's what they say, because that's what they've said. and then move forward from there. And not to get too wrapped up in things, and do what you know is right. Yeah.
I like that. Do what you know is right. Well, folks, we've been speaking with Darren Cockburn. We're talking about his book, Being Present, Cultivate a Peaceful Mind Through Spiritual Practice. I want to thank him, and I want to thank the audience for being with me today as we collectively get over it. The divine in me honors the divine in you. I appreciate your time and attention. And when you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of being present. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.